Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/modern. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Star Wars Book Club podcast. This is going to be episode number 18. I, as always, am your host, Blake Schultz. With me, as always, is Harley Salbaca.
Hey, hey, hey.
And Tyler Berry.
Santi!
I know! Yes.
I texted you that in all caps, even though I didn't know if you'd read it yet.
No, I hadn't read it yet. So when I got to that page, I was like, God damn it, Harley. I already know what's going to happen now.
I almost texted you.
Yes, I absolutely did.
Yeah, because Santi was going to be in it. Why else would you just text him random Sant nonsense?
Because Santi's awesome.
This is true.
Okay.
Why would I not just randomly text you Santi?
Valid point, yes.
You need a Santi emoji. Yes.
Oh my God. Do they have one yet? Do they have any of the comic book characters
no,
on that app?
So. I browse through my Star Wars app of gifts and emojis frequently. They don't have any of the new ones yet, which makes me sad.
They got some new ones for the movie, which made me stoked.
Yeah. Oh, yes. But anyways, guys, in this episode, we're going to be talking about Star Wars number 15, which brought us back to the wonderful adventures of Obi-Wan Kenobi. What did you guys think?
Dude, I love the Obi-Wan ones a lot. And this is Obi-Wan really young.
That's one of the things I really liked about it, was that they even drew him in a way where he just sort of looked like an older Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, he did.
Post 3. Yeah. Or now, I mean, Ewan McGregor is older now anyways, but...
He looks like
younger than Ewan McGregor in real life, but older than Ewan McGregor episode 3 time.
Yeah.
Like a 2008 Ewan McGregor.
That's a very specific... Does he stalk pictures of Ewan McGregor?
Probably. Do you not?
Well, I like this issue. One thing I took away from it, Owen's kind of a dick.
Right?
Yeah. Well, and it was funny because that's how as soon as I finished reading that scene, I was like... He's kind of a dick in the movie, though. Like, he is very just like, whenever Luke is like, can I go do anything? He's like, no!
Yeah.
Stay here and moisturize things, you idiot child.
Yeah, yeah. It was always his aunt that was the nice one, for sure.
But I mean, I get it. Like, if somebody came to you and was like, here, I need you to look at this child, and they were like, why? And you went, oh, because his father is evil incarnate, and just genocided the Jedi.
Okay, see, yes, I get that part of it, but there was one part when he's like, you think I don't know why, when he's talking to Obi-Wan, I mean, he's like, you think I don't know that we're the only people who haven't been attacked by raiders and blah, 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 and all this, like, positive things.
Yeah. Yep.
And he's just like, fuck you. And I'm like, I feel like that's a little backwards.
Yep.
Even if you don't want Obi-Wan near Luke, you should probably be happy you're not getting attacked by raiders.
Yeah
that was...
Especially with a small child.
Yes, like, basically, Obi-Wan's there and has been living there, like, in the boonies, watching Luke, protecting him, and by default is protecting Owen and his business. That's the part I was like, dude, your crops and your business, they're fine. You haven't been raided because of Obi-Wan.
I was also kind of like, if Owen's noticed that, though, how has no other moisture farmer been like, man, can you believe all those Tusken Raiders last night? And the other one's like, oh, I know, they got me real bad. And Owen's like, no, I'm fine again. Like, I was like, wouldn't eventually one of them be like, do you guys think that Owen and Lars, they're like, messing up our stuff? Should we kill him? Like, you know what I mean? Like, as soon as he was like, you're protecting us, I was like, first of all, Obi-Wan, you can probably spare some time to protect everybody. You don't have a whole lot else to do.
Yeah.
Two, all of those, like, if we lived in a neighborhood and every house was being robbed on a nightly basis, except one of them, I would start to get suspicious of that house.
That, or just assume that they had really large weapons.
Yeah. In which case, I'd be like, give me some weapons.
Yeah, I'd be like, dude, hook it up.
Right. Share the wealth. Give me some guns. They're probably easy to get on Tatooine.
Give me some guns and throw in a little of that blue milk.
Right. Come on. on, stop being such a, like, hoarder, Lars. You do this every time. And then it just cuts to them at, like, a kegger of beer, and Owen's like, this is my keg. Y'all can just drink whatever you brought. But you had a house party. Yeah, well, I bought the keg. It's all mine.
He strikes me as that kind of character, actually. He kind of is like that. Like, I was a little pissed at him when he... I mean, like, I understood where he was coming from, where he was like, I don't want Luke to know that you're here and that we have someone else protecting us. Like, I kind of get that, but at the same time, I'm like, but be thankful and don't be a dick about it.
I also was curious, this is true, but I was also curious, he called him Obi-Wan in this issue, and I want to know when the transition to Ben happens.
Well, I want to know when the transition to Luke actually knowing that there's a Ben Kenobi there, because right now he doesn't know that Obi-Wan's even there, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it in New Hope? Doesn't he say, like, said he's the property of Obi-Wan Kenobi, and he's like, he means old Ben.
Right, but he already knows then. Like, I want to know when he finds out.
Because, because Luke in that knows who old Ben is. He's like, mean old Ben?
Yeah, so presumably he's known for a while at that point. Because he seems so, like, he's just like, oh, right, Ben Kenobi.
Because that's one of the things I wrote down, is that Obi-Wan is terrible at this whole, like, don't get noticed thing. Like, in the first issue, he just, like, it wasn't even protecting Luke. He just was like, I'm gonna go mess up some gangsters who are doing this water drought thing. And in this one, he's like helping Jawas and fighting off raiders and getting parts and just like wandering around. And a part of me was like, this is why you had to start being called Ben and become like a myth on this planet. Everyone knows who you are because you keep messing with stuff.
At the same time, though, who's going to tell him to hide? His orders were to go and, like, hide.
Qui-Gon, who he's been communing with?
I'm just saying, but what's the ghost of Qui-Gon going to do?
Be like, stop?
He's going to be like, I'll slap you. And Ben's going to be like, no, you won't.
That would be an awesome scene if Obi-Wan was, like, going out to do something with his lightsaber. Qui-Gon was like, no, Obi-Wan, you must stay put. What are you going to do about it? I'm going to ask you nicely again. Damn this metaphysical body of mine. And Obi-Wan just walks through him.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, Obi-Wan's kind of just like, no one controls me right now. I can do what I want.
It's true.
No more Jedi Council.
I did also think it was cool that when Lars picks up and Obi-Wan's like, we don't get a lot of information, visitors here, he just pulls his lightsaber over. And I was like, oh, he's ready to just murder whoever's behind that door. He's done messing around.
Yep.
But
also, can we talk about little young Luke? Little 7-year-old, 8-year-old Luke?
Yeah.
He's kind of cocky.
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, Obi-Wan says it in the issue. It's like he is his father's son, basically. Like, they are a lot alike.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked that, too, that he was kind of just doing the same thing. It almost was more cocky. Like, when you meet Anakin, he's like, I'm a pretty good pilot. But, like, they won't let me race, but I could probably win, where Luke's like, let me fucking race. I'm going to own these guys.
Yeah, but also, Anakin was a slave. That's probably true. Has to do with it. Like, I mean, Luke's, you know, uncle is kind of being like, you have to do all this work, but he knows he's not a slave. He's
but
just someone's
kid.
As far
as, like, slave owners go, Watto was all right.
Yeah.
Like, he never hit Anakin. He, like, made
that we
jokes
know of.
With him.
I was going to say, how do you know?
We don't know that he didn't hit that kid.
That's true. But he was always, like, cracking wise and, like, having a good time. He was never like, if you don't get back here, I'm going to kill you.
Well,
he probably was.
Actually, he kind of was a little bit like that. There was a time where he was like, if you don't come back and do what you said, like, your mom's dead, basically.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
oh,
that's
that
very
is right.
True.
So, like, I'm just saying, he threatened, like, an 8-year-old boy multiple times. He probably smacked him around a little bit just when no one was looking. Like, it was his slave.
Oh, God. Oh, Watto. But yeah, I thought that was really an interesting scene with Luke, and I like that we got to see Biggs a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I also like that he just destroyed that T-16 Skyhopper.
Yeah.
I also was really hoping, in the old EU, the big, like, fable with Luke and Biggs was that he, like, was the only pilot who flew through that, like, hole in Beggar's Canyon. Mm-hmm. They called it the needle and, like, threading the needle. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, are they going to bring that back? That would be so cool. That was the thing in Rogue Squadron that you got the gold medal for doing if you did it in the training mission. That would be dope. But instead he just wrecks it. Because he tries to fly it through something that's just straight up smaller than his ship.
Yeah, he's a cocky kid. Also, not everything is about your fan service, Blake.
Sure it is. Otherwise, we wouldn't have an Obi-Wan issue that also had Santee in it.
Oh, my God. So, like, last time when you texted me and you were like, oh, my God, like, Tyler's going to flip his shit. And I was like, right? And what did you say? I forget what you said to me. But I was like, see, Blake, they do listen to our podcast. Oh, I was They're giving us what we want.
I was like, they really knew exactly what I wanted. They gave me an Obi-Wan issue, and then they gave Tyler Santee. It was the best of both worlds.
Yeah. And I was like, they obviously listen to our podcast, guys.
They're either listening to our podcast or they're just bugging everything we own at Star Wars related and then just listening to our conversations.
Just in case we go too far.
I believe that's more likely than the bigwigs at Disney listening to our podcast.
Bob Iger tuning in every week. Get his finger on the pulse of what all the youngins are saying.
I used to work at the park.
See? We're all connected somehow to it in a way that isn't really connected to the franchise at all.
Nope.
Guys, what if they just bugged me when I worked there and I didn't know?
And you've just been walking around with a tracker somewhere in your skin?
I could see it. I could see that.
Yeah. I mean, I did do their internship too, so I could have been part of it. They're like, you know.
But I did love when we met Santee in this issue that Jabba's like, show me how good you are. And he just kills like
10
of his guards. And they're like, okay, we get it. You can kill people. Neat. Go kill Obi-Wan. I also thought it was interesting that they set this up. Like, the last Obi-Wan journal ended. Like, it was like the end of a story in the journal. And this ended in a way where I was like, oh, are we going to, like, have 3 or 4 issues? But apparently not. Like, the next issue has Leia on the cover. But I thought it was really interesting that they ended this journal entry on...
They may just continue it in the next time that they do one of the journal entries.
I'm sure they will.
Because they're doing them periodically, so...
I also like the idea that somehow Luke was reading Ben's journal and then was like, I bet a black Wookiee went into Jabba's palace after this.
I'm just excited because I feel like it's more and more likely that they're going to put Santee in a movie.
The Han Solo movie.
I'm just saying. Because also, we know that Han knew about him before. Like, he said in the comics where he was just like, oh, man. He was like, oh, man, I know about that Wookiee. Shit. And then Boba Fett's there being like, this is my Wookiee.
I like that all the cool badasses just, like, have a Wookiee hanging out with them.
I'm sorry. If I was a cool badass, I would have a Wookiee hanging out with me.
If I wasn't, I would want a Wookiee. They are pretty good at stuff.
Yeah.
It's not a bad asset to have around.
I want a Wookiee, guys.
Also, I don't think anybody can own Santee. I think he's just letting Boba Fett hang out with him.
Well, I didn't say anything about ownership. I just meant, like, you want a Wookiee with
you. They're pals.
Like,
they're Wookiee pals.
There's just some people and things that you just want with you.
Right.
Because they're awesome.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see what happens next with this journal and everything else we get in it. And I'm really curious if we're going to start running into any of the other, like, survivors of Order 66. Like, we know Ahsoka, like, Anakin's old apprentice is still kicking around in Rebels, and there's Kanan and the child from Rebels, whose name I don't know because I don't watch it. I want to say Ezro. But it would be interesting if, like, they showed up somewhere or Obi-Wan had an entry with them, especially with all of this Jedi Temple stuff, if we got into the kind of, like, there were more before Luke, although I still stand by by the time A New Hope rolls around, I want it to just be Obi, Yoda, and Luke hanging out.
We know.
I know. Wouldn't it be sad if Rebels just ended with sadness?
Sometimes sad endings are good, though.
Well, Star Wars has a lot of sad endings. Yeah. They're kind of built on them, except for the 2 out of the 6 movies. The other ones are kind of dark at the end.
There's 7 movies.
7 movies now, yes.
Thank you, Tyler.
Does Episode 1 really count as a movie? Or is it just something we accepted?
I feel another 1-star review coming on because of what you just said.
And another Blake rant.
The thing is... But yeah, no, it was really good. I also did like seeing Obi-Wan talking to Qui-Gon, and I like the idea that we are going to maybe see him commune. I'm really hoping that we see some Qui-Gon ghost show up in one of the journal entries.
Me too.
I really want that to happen.
It's all I want. It's all I need.
I just want more Liam Neeson.
Right. I'm sure eventually he'll get a comic. There's no way that
they gotta do that.
Like, right? Qui-Gon, Windu, everybody's eventually going to get a nice little mini series.
I sure hope so.
And if not, I'll just be so sad forever.
Forever and ever.
That's the other thing I'm curious about with all the Obi-Wan journal entries. We know that Darth Maul from, like, the show is still kind of kicking around.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious if he'll show up in one of these entries and whether that'll be like the, like eventually he also, he, you know, he's not around in Empire Strikes Back for all we know. Like eventually that's another character that we have to see end somehow. Hmm. I would kind of like it if he showed up in one of the journal entries and Obi-Wan just smoked him again. Right? I think that would be great. All right. Is there anything else you guys had on this issue?
Not on this issue, but before we end this segment, should we talk about the comic announcement? Poe?
Yes. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
It's so... And the and it's ongoing.
Ongoing series,
which is
awesome.
I know. And I've had so many people come in and go, hey, can you put me down for the Poe Dameron series? And I'm like, I can't yet. They just barely announced it. It's not even being solicited yet. And they're like, oh... And I'm like, I know, I'm excited too.
It's gonna be, I'm so excited.
April, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
From a birthday, guys. They're basically, I'm sorry, the Star Wars comic universe has been giving you two a lot of gifts lately. They're giving me Poe Dameron for my birthday.
It's gonna be great.
It's gonna be awesome.
Excited. I'm so excited to see every, and it's such a good team. Like, oh my God.
Who's the artist again?
It was the same person who was on
Lando, right?
Chewie and Lando. Soul, I think, is the last name. Or is that the writer? That's
the writer. Because Chewie wasn't written by Soul either. Chewie was written by Duggan and drawn by Phil Noto.
Maybe it's... it looks like one of those other issues. I'm sure we'll find in just a moment.
I want it to be the same artist as the Shattered Empire stuff.
That would be great. It would match... Dameron's family.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's written by Charles Soule.
Yeah, because Soule's great.
And Phil Noto's doing the art.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh, they really are giving me some fan service because I love Phil Noto.
It's going to be great. And you know what else that means? There's going to be some BB-8 in this comic.
Oh my God.
Because he owns that droid.
I swear to goodness, I'm going to like tweet Phil Noto as soon as we're done this and be like, Phil Noto, hey, remember that one time when we met in Comic-Con and you said that my hair looked like your Black Widow? Are you going to do any, like, prints of Poe Dameron? And also, can I have one as soon as you do?
I'm sure you'll be fine. How hard could that be for him to just do custom-y for you?
No, because one of my friends tweeted at him and was like, hey, dude, I loved your poster. Like, I think that should have been the movie poster. Like, let me know if you're doing prints. Oh, and he was like, oh, I'll just send you one.
Oh, wow.
Like, Jesus.
Phil Noto is an extremely talented artist who I feel like doesn't realize how amazing he is. Because when I met him, I was like, you're my favorite comic book artist. And he was like, really? And I was like, yes. And he was like, oh.
That's a lot better though than him being like, damn straight. Yeah.
You know, he's like really, really, he's so nice.
Right.
He's unbelievably nice.
I'm really curious to see what this issue kind of tackles. Because there's so much to do in like that the 30 years in between Jedi and Awakens now.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be fun to see like the First Order rise, the Resistance, their relationship to the Republic. Like it's going to let a lot of the things...
How he became the best pilot.
Right.
It's a
really good opportunity to flesh out a lot of the smaller issues that some people have with the Force Awakens, like such as like blowing up the Republic did seem a little... quick, and we didn't really have a relationship with what that was and why that mattered.
And we'll get Leia, obviously, a lot of Leia, because she's going to be his general.
So now we'll really understand, like, why that mattered. Like, it'll be an interesting thing to see kind of the Resistance relationship to the Republic and the Republic's relationship to the galaxy, because it sounded like the First Order was basically like this terrorist cell that was basically going, we want to do what the Empire did again, even though that obviously didn't work. And it'll be really interesting to see, like, it seemed like Hux's thing was basically the Republic is lying about the Resistance and they're secretly funding them.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting, which, like, if there's a terrorist cell, why can't the Republic just go fight? Why do they need to secretly fund this little group of 20 pilots, it seemed like?
Because
in the Starkiller base, they wiped out half of them.
Yeah, they did.
And they were like, we've got 10 ships left. And they're like, yep, half the fleet's gone. And I was like, oh, wow. That's,
ouch.
This is much smaller than the Rebellion. And they had a whole democracy that they made out of that.
And I'm sure what they'll do, too, is they'll pull it back to Shattered Empire with his parents. Like, they're gonna have to talk about the Force tree that they probably have in their yard.
Yep, Force tree.
So, like, and also, what exactly is the Force tree gonna do? Are there effects? Like...
Yeah, I'm so curious about that, because we didn't touch on that at all if you grow Force Awakens.
Yeah, if you grow up with a Force tree in your yard, are you Force sensitive?
Because it goes kind of against the midichlorian idea that it's like in your DNA.
Yeah, that's true.
So you'd think it had to do something, whether or not it's even just like...
Well, I thought we scrapped that anyway.
Oh, what?
Midichlorians?
Maybe.
I thought we scrapped that.
But they talk about it in episode one.
Yeah, I don't... Well, I think the...
Yeah,
I think,
but I thought we scrapped... I thought that was, like, never going to be mentioned again, the midichlorians.
I think it's never going to be mentioned, but I don't think they've, like, retconned
it. Oh, okay.
Yeah, because they weren't allowed to take out anything that was in episodes one, two,
and
three.
Right, they're just going to kind of
those are all canon.
But...
Gotcha.
But, yeah, that would be nice. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see kind of what that purpose was, because it was one of those things... Right, I know all of us were even like, oh, this has to be in The Force Awakens. Like, this is
maybe
what Luke is doing. He's taking care of this tree, and it really hasn't gone anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, maybe with the Poe Dameron series, I mean, I don't know how young they're going to start him, but it could be that's one of the reasons that he is eventually part of the Resistance is because he knew that Luke was real, that he wasn't a myth, because his parents knew him, and they got this Force tree, and he grew up with that, so he knew that this was something real and stable that existed in the universe. So that's what inspired him to fight for this cause.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be so good. And I love that it's ongoing because it's such a good... He's such a perfect character to chronicle in the middle of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you did Rey, that would be really interesting and fun, but, like, she's just hanging out on Jakku doing Jakku stuff. But, like, Poe is, like, in the thick of it.
Because his parents were.
Right. Of what's going on in the bigger universe at that time. So it's kind of the right character, I think, for the Resistance's side, which hopefully means for like the First Order side, we'll either get a Phasma or a Snoke or a Hux or even a Finn. Show me some Finn.
Some
get in
little
training
Finn
before he's a traitor.
Baby Finn.
Which I guess the like prequel book for The Force Awakens that came out gets into that and talks a lot about him and all the stormtroopers he was with.
Yeah, when I went to Disneyland yesterday, they actually had a display of not all the comics, but most of the comics and most of the books at the Star Wars store. There's like a wall of it.
Oh,
and I was
it.
Like, what? This is awesome.
I believe it. Oh, man. And then the, but the Poe book is going to be great. And then I think the other thing that's happened with Star Wars stuff is the episode 8 has been delayed.
Oh, you just want to get right into it?
I think so. We'll just burn through them. Which I think is actually a positive thing. Because it's kind of an interesting thing that Disney, I think, has kind of planted, like, the start of May for, like, Marvel for so long.
Yeah.
And when they did this at Christmas and Rogue One next Christmas, I was like, oh, that makes sense. Do your Star Wars in winter and your Marvel in summer.
Yeah.
And then when they were like, and then 6 months after Rogue One is episode 8, I was like, that's actually, like, really fast when you think about it. Like, that's, and I wouldn't complain about getting 2 Star Wars movies that quick back to back. But that's when you do get close to what a lot of people are afraid of, which is the fatigue.
And also, it's, marketing-wise, it's a much smarter choice. Because, A, it's not going to be competing with the stuff that they already have. It's not going to be competing with their Marvel stuff, because that's going to be, you know, like, spring, summer. And it's not going to be competing with any other summer blockbusters.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have it coming out of Christmas.
Well, it was originally going up against Avatar 2 in Christmas, but that got indefinitely pushed back recently.
Would it really be a competition for Avatar 2?
It's the highest grossing film of all time.
It would.
I didn't even see that movie until like a few years ago.
If James Cameron puts his name on it, it's gonna make some change.
Star Wars. I feel like Star Wars has a bigger fan base than James Cameron.
China, where Star Wars didn't do so hot and Avatar crushed, is also gonna be a big deal.
Yeah. Well, I don't care about what they think there when it comes to Star Wars movies.
Yeah, but
care what we think here. But I think it's really smart marketing-wise to do have it separated because they're making more money that way. They're not competing with themselves. And also, anything that comes out of Christmas, sorry, any other movie who wants to ever come out of Christmas the next like decade is not going to get the numbers.
Right. Well, I mean,
because Star Wars.
It'll make some of the numbers. Like, as they keep doing it, it'll be the same thing we see with Marvel, where back in the day, Avengers would plant its flag, and no one would come out for a month. But even this summer, Age of Ultron, next weekend, Mad Max showed up.
Yeah.
And it competed. It held it out Furious 7 was the weekend before it and took a chunk of the change out of it. So as it keeps going, like, the money will always be there.
Yeah, well, because with Harry Potter, that's what they did. Yeah. Is that every, wasn't it every Christmas?
Yep.
Every Christmas, a Harry Potter movie came out.
That music became synonymous with Christmas time.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to happen with the Star Wars music.
Which is funny, because I already used to, that's what I did. Like, once I moved out of my parents' house and I wasn't at Christmas all the time there, every Christmas that I wasn't at home, even when I was at home, I watched Star Wars. So it's already Christmas for me.
Like, and do we know why it got delayed?
Yeah, they're doing rewrites. Mm-hmm. They said they want to flesh out, Finn and Rey and Poe more instead of, and scale back some of the new characters that they were going to have a bunch of in episode 8, because the feedback they've gotten is people just want to know more about these characters that we got introduced to in episode 7, as opposed to just cramming in a bunch of more new characters that, I mean, and taking basically screen time away from Rey and Finn and Poe.
That makes a lot of sense. I also really hope that there is a decent amount of Luke in this movie. Like, now...
I'm sure there is.
I think there has to be.
Yeah. Right.
Do you guys think they'll get rid of him, too, the same way they did?
No.
No. That's, I mean, I'm on that page.
I don't think so, yeah.
Somebody was like, they're going to kill him off, and then the third one will be Leia. And I was like, they're not going to get rid of all
no,
three.
No, they're not. No, absolutely
because
not.
I don't think... Because the original... excuse me. The original trilogy really was about Vader and Luke. That's who it was about. It was about them separately and them together and their relationship. So basically, it was all about the Skywalkers.
Right.
And they didn't kill, you know, Vader till the end of the original trilogy because
it's a redemption
he was
story.
And also because he was the main Skywalker, him and Luke. So, like, I don't think that they're going to kill the main Skywalker. I don't think they're going to kill him at all. No. I don't think he's going to die in the...
And Kathleen Kennedy has said so many times that 7, 8, and 9 is still going to be about the Skywalkers.
Yeah.
Which is...
Well, that's what all of the... Good. That's what Star Wars has been about.
Right.
It's been about this specific bloodline.
And now you get all these fun spinoffs, like Rogue One.
I'm stoked. Felicity still, Jones.
I mean, Rogue One over, for me at least, Boba Fett and Han Solo movie. Like, it just sounds so good.
Wow.
Well, it's because they're characters we don't know as well. It's a side of it we've never seen. Where, like, Han and Boba Fett, now it's all scrapped, but we've had books, comics, video games. Mm-hmm. We've never, like, the closest you've gotten to something like Rogue One is a level in Rogue Squadron 2 when you're stealing the shuttle.
Yep.
And that's for the second Death Star, I think. Because you're stealing the Tidarian.
Like, yeah.
So I'm like, and it's a war movie, and they've got the Zero Dark 30 DP, and I'm like, that sounds so cool.
Neither of you guys have been to Disneyland since they did the Star Wars stuff.
No.
Hyperspace Mountain is amazing.
I believe it.
Have you heard anything about it?
Mm-mm.
Should I say anything about it?
No.
Okay. Just go on it, guys. Just go on it. Like, go to Disneyland, go on it, because I didn't really know what it was. All I knew is that they made it Star Wars-y.
Yeah.
And oh... My dreams came true a little bit. A little bit.
Oh, yeah. I believe it. Well, is there anything else you guys want to touch on real quick?
I think we covered it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We had a little bit shorter of an episode this week than usual, but hopefully you still enjoyed it all the same. And as always, you can go and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Star Wars Book Club Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at SW Book Club, on Tumblr at Star Wars Book Club. On Instagram at Modern Nostalgia Productions, where you can also find our other two podcasts, Modern Nostalgia Gaming and Hollywood Already Did It. You can find me personally at QuakeBorder55. You can find Tyler at
The Tie Game.
And Harley at
Miss Harley R on everything.
All right, guys. We will see y'all next week.
Peace.